got to finish this, and I'm just, everything just came a little bit quicker. I'm going to try this, Josh. I don't know if this is going to fly or not. It's not doing, let me try this real quick. Most of the church mics and people that were in there, the 600 megahertz frequency, they use that in the mics that we use and in most of the other mics. So people have been scrambling for the last year and a half or so to get the new microphones, and this is one of the new ones. This is one of the new ones. Pastor had a new one this morning, and thank the Lord, they all seem to be working. That's the good part, so I'm happy with that. And you can just turn this other one off, I think, Josh. And it's always good when technology works. Okay, so where we're going to start tonight, I've got approximately 14 questions, and I'm just going to post to you some questions that if you answer these, how would it change you? This is not what I really want to talk about, but I saw this and I thought this will work, because I think sometimes we need to be challenged. I'm going to share with you something that happened to me a couple of days ago. And I think because of what Pastor was talking this morning about being consistent as a Christian, consistency, people are looking at us, they're watching us, they want to know that we're going to be doing things different. We respond to life differently. We don't respond to life like you would as though you were a child of the world. We have a greater hope, and we respond to things like cancer. We respond to things, illnesses differently than the world. Because I have a hope, I have a healing hope that God is going to take care of me, no matter what the process, no matter what the doctor says. Whose report are you going to believe? Will you believe the man with the white coat? Not to put him down because he's paid a lot of money and got a high education. Just ask me when I pay my bill. I know all about those things. Okay, but are you going to believe his report or God's report? Whose report will you believe? His report says, I am healed. And I choose to believe that. In all facets of my life, even when my body's telling me differently. And I was talking to a friend of mine, a real good friend, we enjoy each other's company, but we were talking about the situation, and this is what happens to us, I think, as Christians a lot of the times, is that when there's a need or something, something's going on in the world that we don't like, and it's presented to us, okay, and we jump on right away. Now, I'm going to use trade names because it's okay that we do. Everybody knows what's going on. How many can remember what happened with Target? You realize it's been 2 years ago already that Target introduced all of this stuff, and does everybody know where I'm going with this? Target has introduced transgender bedrooms. Well, maybe that's next. But bathrooms and all these good things. And I was talking to this guy, and I said, how would you feel if you went into Target and you took your daughter, and you said, well, honey, I'll walk you over to the bathroom, okay? And you walk over, and you stand there like a dutiful father, but the next person in appears to be a woman, but guess what? Transgender, he's a man. How do you feel about that? Well, hopefully nothing will happen. But yeah, me, that's what I would say too. Hopefully nothing will happen. But what we don't realize is that in those moments that we start to take life for granted again, everything stays the same for Target. They have not moved one inch from their position. But I'm not going to ask and make you say it, but how many of you literally went to the website or signed up that said you would not shop at Target until they stopped this practice? And we were all on board in the beginning. Oh, that's the greatest thing. The American Family Association, that's the greatest thing we can do. Let's do this, okay? And boom, then all of a sudden life sets in. But you know, Target, they have it better. They have a couple dollars less. I can go there and get it over there. And then all of a sudden you find yourself going, well, gee, Starbucks has coffee at Target too. I guess I could go over there and do that. And all of a sudden we find ourselves no longer committed to the cause of Christ. We find ourselves on a slippery slope of saying, because it happens to be cheaper or because something else is different, I don't mind anymore going into a store that supports this stuff with transgender crap or junk. Can I say it? Well, you said it. I guess I can say it, right? So I can use that word. but that we start putting up with this, and so we don't find any solid ground. There's no consistency in us. I talked to four people on Wednesday morning of last week. Pastors in the city that were involved with us in Serve the City and the all night, or the sing that we had a couple of weeks ago. And we were just sitting there talking about all the things that could have happened. You were debriefing of maybe we should do this, or we can add this or take this away next year. And as we were talking about that, was an article that came up. And every single one of them said one of the biggest problems that they're having right now is how to address the gap between, Pastor mentioned it this morning very briefly, but between us and the millennial generation. Now, I'm fortunate enough to have millennials. My daughter's a millennial. My son-in-law is a millennial. So I kind of hear what's going on, especially in church. You know, so I know what's happening in their church, and I know what's kind of going on. But here's what's going to happen. If we miss that millennial generation and our consistency is not apparent to them, we lose. We lose. Rick Lombard's dad, Dell, preached a message, I will never forget it, as long as I live. To this day, he preached the message when we were in that building, but he said, we're just one generation away. And how prophetic was that for the time that we're living in now? Now, it's 40 years later from when he preached it, but nonetheless, it's still valid and it's consistent. And what God is looking for from his people today is when you set your face, you must set it like a flint toward a mark, and you've got to say, I will not do this if it is violating the scriptures that I believe to be inerrant and true. I will not do this if God is going to be offended by what I'm doing. And I'm just saying that because here, this is a very slippery slope that we're on. That once this stuff starts, if nobody ever does anything, how do you think 50 million babies were aborted? It's because the church lost its fire. And we didn't stand up when we could have. The nation could have been changed. It would have been totally different if the church would have realized its responsibility. I'm not chastising anybody. I'm simply pointing out the fact that if we lose the vision for what Christ has, and we sacrifice our ideals, we sacrifice the goodness of who God is, and we walk away from those things because we think it's easier to go the other route. It usually is easier, but that's not what God does. He called us to the road less traveled. And he said, this is where I have called you. This is what I've asked you to do. Don't compromise your belief system for something silly like a dollar off because Target has it better. Don't compromise your belief system. It's not worth it to do that. When somebody gives you the valid point of where you can come out and you can actually put yourself on the line and say, I choose this because this is what God would want me to do, you've pleased him. And I want to just bring that before you because these are things that are happening with millennials that I know. And he didn't seem to see, he said, well, I don't mind taking my little girl into that store and letting her go to the mat. You can't see what's happening in it. You can't see where the general slope is happening. I'm done, soapbox over. I want you to leave that because that actually happened to me. And I couldn't imagine that up until the other day that a father would do that. So I have a few questions here that I'm going to put out, and then I'm going to get to the heart of what I wanted to talk about tonight. I've got a video to share. Pastor's going to love it because it's all about black gospel. So he's going to like it. Okay? And so let me just ask you these quick questions. What if in the remainder of this year and 2019 or the rest of the time when we're going to vote for people consistently. They're going to be in offices that we may not like. But what if we prayed for our leaders rather than complain about who we have or don't have in office? What would happen? God never called me to complain, but he did call me to pray. I may not like that person. I might not like the Democratic Party and what they're doing. Oops, I revealed my party, didn't I? Okay, I may not like it, but I'm called to pray for them. Now, whether you like it or not, the President of the United States is the President. And he, for lack of anything else, you pray for him because you honor him in who he is and the title for who he is. What if we realized that God is on the throne and will have his way no matter who is in office, and that we are called to pray for his will and purposes for this nation? What if we begin using what we have and quit wasting time thinking about what we don't have? What if? What if we feared nothing? No fear of life or death because we are in his hands. What if we allowed his presence to eliminate bitterness from the depths of our souls? What if we could forgive ourselves and move on past the shame simply because Jesus has forgiven us? That's one hard thing, because Jesus can forgive, but you have to forgive too. You have to forgive yourself, because there's stuff that will reside in here, and the enemy will keep finding it. There's a hook, and when he can, he'll pull on it, and that hook will just come back to haunt you if you don't forgive and do the things that are important to you. What if we accepted and believed with all of our heart that Jesus loves us and accepts us and is for us every minute of the day, just the way we are? He's not making us do anything special or different. That's going to come just by getting closer to who he is. That will come. But he's not forcing us to go there. He is leading us into the paths of righteousness. What if we could really understand and activate true repentance in every area of our lives instead of just feeling sorry for our patterns of sin? See, repentance is not a one-time deal. Repentance is whenever you have to get something before God and you repent and you get it out of your life. It doesn't just happen once. It's an ongoing process. So what do you do then? What if we could really, really understand and activate true repentance in every area of our lives instead of just feeling sorry for our patterns of sin? What if we accepted the fact that he accepts us as we are to the point that it overwhelms the fact we do not accept ourselves? Verse number two. What if we could rest in who we are in Christ rather than running around doing activities that he never called us to do? Being rather than doing. Being rather than doing. He's called us to do things. What if the children of God understood and operated in the full authority that Jesus sacrificed for us to have? There wouldn't be a sick body in the world, folks. They wouldn't need hospitals. I never forget the story, and I tell it again, but Heidi Baker over in Mozambique, she teaches the little kids that God heals, and children are so sweet because they haven't figured it out yet. God heals, but if he doesn't, St. Luke's is right down the street. We can get you all fixed up. See, little kids don't know about that stuff. So she takes them to the hospitals in Mozambique. There's three of them. And they go into this one hospital. Can we pray for your people? Yep, no problem at all. Now, these kids are not over 10 years old. So they're, you know, probably anywhere from 3 to 10. And they go through this hospital and they pray. And there was not one sick person in that hospital. They emptied the hospital. Emptied the hospital. That's fact. I'm not trying to make up a story to make Heidi Baker look good. That's fact. What would happen if we just did that and started living in the authority of who we are in Jesus Christ? Could you imagine walking into St. Luke's and walking to every room and just saying, come on, get out of your bed and walk. Get up, get up, get off that gurney, get up. And they all get up and they walk out. Can you imagine what would happen? What would national news do with that? What would they do with that? I mean, that would be absolutely amazing. But you see, it's hard for us to just do what God has called us to do in the minimal things of, like I mentioned ago, just walking up to somebody who's in a wheelchair and say, you know, I don't know you, but would you mind if I prayed? I don't even know what's the matter with you, but would you mind if I prayed? Most of us have trouble doing that, much less trying to figure out what he'd have for us if we just released everything and started operating in his potential. What if we accepted others and the blessings that they are rather than being offended by them in their differences? What if we chose to not be offended when offense comes, or at least choose to let go of all offenses immediately? In other words, let's be unoffendable. What would happen in your life if you were totally unoffendable? People could talk to you. You wouldn't have trouble with other drivers on the road. You'd get wherever everything would be just, if you could be unoffendable, how much different would life be? It would be absolutely amazing. What if we choose to see God, the good in people, pray for the rest, and love them regardless of any change that we think should have happened? It is what happens. We pray for somebody, then we instantly think there should be a change, and God says, whoa, no, I asked you to pray. The change will come. The change will come. But what if we choose to see only the good in people, pray for the rest, and then love them regardless of the changes that we think should have happened? What if we prayed and communicated intimately with the Father every day? I can remember when Dan was pastoring, one of the last things that I can remember about the messages that Dan preached is he challenged all of us. He said, if you can just pray to the Lord 15 minutes a day in your prayer language, speaking in tongues, for 15 minutes a day, it'll revolutionize your life. And he's 1,000% right. If you just spent 15 minutes a day speaking in tongues, getting to know God better, it would revolutionize your life. It would change perspective on everything. And we have time to watch TV, we have time to do everything else, but to spend really 15 minutes with God in a language I don't understand? Nope, but he does. And he makes it very much worth your while. What would happen if every believer realized that the lifetime process we are in and could walk without judgment? So in other words, you realize the process that you're in and you could walk without judgment beside those that are not as far along in the process as you are. So in other words, as these people come into our church, we are going to see them come to the Lord, and then they're going to need to be discipled. And you can't disciple somebody if you think you live here and you recognize them here. You must look at them on the plane where you can realize who they are. One of the greatest things that my wife, I've watched her over the years, and I don't know how she does it, but when she was teaching, somehow for 8 hours a day, she was 10 years old. I don't get that. I don't know, but I watched her do it. She adapted to these children. She went to their level, and that's what made her a very, very good teacher. Because she sees that, and she can look at people and say, okay, I can meet them at that level, and I don't have to feel like there's any condemnation in that at all. I'm just there to pray for them and to let them know that I love them. And then the very last one, that this one stuck in my throat, but this one I think should leave the most in our hearts. What if we desired a towel instead of a title? You get where I'm going? We all sat here and Pastor Harris had us come and wash feet not too long ago. What if we desired that towel instead of a title? And we like those titles, don't we? We want to be this or we want to be that, or we want somebody to know that we've done this or we do this. I've got a friend, he always introduces us no matter we are. He'll say, well, this is Sonny and he's the president, CEO of no. I don't need that. I don't need that. The world needs that. I just manage a business that God has given me and blessed me with. That's what I do. That's what Dustin does. That's what anybody who has their own business. You're in there to bless the Lord with the things that he's given to you. So those are just a few what ifs that in 2019, if you could look at those, they could possibly change your life and be available to know what God is doing in your heart. Okay, I'm driving along the road a few months ago, and as a worship pastor, I listen to songs. I listen to songs in the lyrics, there's one out, I'll leave that alone. There's one out now that I don't really like because of what they're saying is just a little bit different. Theologically, it's not exactly sound. But I do that, and I listen. Well, 3 months ago, I'm tooling down the road, and this song comes on. And God just, I mean, literally, I had to stop, and I had to just sit and listen, and then if I would have kept, I probably would have just wrecked up with somebody. But you've sang this song a bazillion times, and so have I. And yet, have we ever really thought of the words of the song? 9 times out of 10, we come in and we have a great time. We look at the words on the screen, we sing them. But do we ever really apply them to our heart? Do we ever really look at them and say, okay, I really believe that song that I just sang. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe in the resurrection. We believe he's coming back again, blah, blah, blah. And we sing it, but does our heart really mean it? And so what I was going along and talking about with the Lord, and he basically just dropped this right in my heart, and it just, I really just had, it says, the song that we love, everybody here has sang it, they'll sing it probably until we're all gone. Amazing grace. How sweet. How sweet the sound. Amazing grace. Now what I want you to do tonight, I'm gonna take these. Dustin, could you help me? Can you give these at least one to everybody that's here? Please, if you have a pencil, find one or do something that you can write with. And I will have a test on this. No, just joking. There will not be any test. But what we're going to do tonight is we're just going to take an overlook at some of the things in the Bible where grace had a definite sound. And I think that what we need to do is we need to look at our lives and see where grace has been applied and what does grace sound like. I'll start. This is the process of what we'll end up doing. But then I've got 10 examples here of people in the Bible where Jesus spoke grace into each one of their lives, and their stories that we all know, but we probably never thought of it in this particular context of amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Here's eventually what I want you to do, is that in my life, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. A year ago, I laid on a surgeon's table, and they pulled a mass off my left kidney. So what did grace sound like that day? Grace sounded like, son, you had cancer, but we got all of it, and you're going to be fine. That's what grace sounded like that day. And I think we forget, going from day to day, what grace looks like. What does it sound like? It might be something that people give to you. It might be a song that you're hearing as you drive down the road. And all I want you to do is, in that card that you have in your hand, I want you to look, and I want you to write down some things in your life. And as my head pops up and I look at you, Rick, what does grace sound like? Grace sounds like my son coming back to church and giving his heart to life. That's what grace sounds like. So what does grace sound like in your life? Candy, Doug, grace sounds like your family sitting in front of you in the church pew. That's what grace sounds like. It's amazing, isn't it? Think about it. Amazing grace. Unmerited favor. We can't do anything to earn it. It's unmerited, and yet it is free. And God gives it to us liberally, even when we don't deserve it. And so what I'm asking you to do is simply think about this as we go on. Let's visit the woman at the well. And God is sitting there, Jesus is sitting there on the side of the well, and she comes and he starts to talk to her and reveals to her things that only she could know. And said, well, you know, you've lived with this many men, and even the guy you're living with now is not your husband. And opens the door immediately to her saying, well, if you had to drink, what could you give me to drink? And he says, if you only knew. And at the end of that, grace sounded like this: neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. That's what grace sounded like to that woman at the well. And she may have never even heard the term grace, but that's what grace sounded like for her that day. What about the man at the pool of Bethesda? For over 30 years, he had been sick, infirmed, lame, laying on a mat every day, waiting for somebody. People literally had to bring him to that place at the gate, beautiful, and lay him there every day. And he's waiting for the waters to be troubled, and he's waiting to jump in because the first one in gets healed. But he can't get there because he's lame. What does grace sound like? Grace sounds like Jesus coming by and looking at him and says, pick up your bed and walk. That's what grace sounds like to a man who's never walked in his life, to a man who needs to know the healing power of Jesus Christ. What about Zacchaeus? Little tax collector guy. He can't see, so he jumps up in the tree. This is what grace sounded like to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come out of that tree. I'm going to have lunch with you today. That's what grace sounded like to Zacchaeus. Because Jesus didn't pigeonhole him. Jesus didn't look at him and say, okay, this is who you are, and I don't want to be seen with people like you. No, Jesus said, you're exactly why I'm here. I'm going to have lunch with you and your family today. And grace says, get out of the tree. Come on with me, son, and let's enjoy some fellowship. What about this centurion? And he comes to the Lord and he says, you know, I'm a soldier too, and I've got men working under me. And I say, do this, go there, do this. And they do everything. And God says, I've never seen such great faith in all the land. And then he looks at him. And he speaks grace and he says, go on home. Your servant is healed. That's what grace sounded like to the centurion. What about Paul and Silas? Paul and Silas are in the jail. They've been locked up and they got chains all over them. What does grace sound like to them? An earthquake. An earthquake that literally breaks the bonds and the chains that they're in physically. That's what grace sounded like to Paul and Silas at that particular moment in time. How about the demoniac of Gadara? Jesus comes up in the boat, and he's hardly even out of the boat, and here comes this guy running toward him. It's clear that he's demon-possessed, he's naked, and he's running down there, and he says, Jesus, what have you to do with me? He knew he was in deep trouble, that even the enemy knows. And they say at some point a Roman legion was upwards of 6,000 men. And Jesus asked him his name and says, what is your name? And he says, well, we are many, my name is Legion. And he identifies himself as a legion, which identifies him with saying potentially he had over 6,000 demonic forces living in his body. Now, can you imagine what that would do to any sane human being? No wonder he was insane, running around naked. And they could put chains on him and he'd pull the chains off in the strength of the enemy. What does grace sound like to you tonight? Blind Bartimaeus. He's at the side of the road going, Jesus, Son of God, heal. And all his friends are saying, shh, quiet, don't bother the master. And he says, no, I'm only going to get louder till he comes over. Jesus! Finally, Jesus stops and he looks at him. And he walks over to him. And he says, blind Bartimaeus, he says, hey, go your way. Your faith has healed you. This is a faith that pleased God because it was an entirely wholehearted trust. A wholehearted trust in what he knew God could do for him. What did grace sound like to the winds and the waves when he was in the boat? And the disciples are all going crazy because they think they're going to die and drown. But what did grace sound like? Jesus standing on the bow of the boat going, peace, be still. That's what grace sounded like. What did grace sound like to Abraham? He's taking his son, his only son, he's taking Isaac. He's taking Isaac as a sacrifice. And as he gets there, he's ready to poise the knife, and he hears from heaven. And grace sounds like this, stop. You've shown me that you would give your only, your very beloved son, the son of promise, Isaac. You have showed me that you would be faithful in that. So grace to Abraham came in a small word that just said, stop. And then he looked, and there was the sacrificial lamb sitting in the bush waiting. What about Jairus? Jairus had a little girl. And he comes out to the master, and the master follows him to the house, and all the people are saying, hey, look, she's dead. No point in going in there anymore. They're already doing their death mourning, and they're doing all this. And Jesus says, okay, everybody, get out. Get out. I only want those of you who can believe with me. So he kept whoever the disciples were with him. And as he prayed, grace sounded like this. Talitha kume, little girl, I say to you, get up. And that's what grace sounded like to Jairus that day. When Jesus spoke life into the dead daughter. What does grace sound like to you today? What's happening in your life that you could point to, and God, by his wisdom and by his mercy, has given you an ability to look and say, this is what grace has done for me. This is what grace sounded like. If you tried to do this today, what if you picked out one thing today, what did grace sound like today? And then try it tomorrow. What did grace sound like? There's going to be things that'll happen in your lifetime. There's going to be stuff that happens. I know in my life, there'll be things that happen on my job tomorrow. And I'll have to step back and say, that was God. That was God. That was grace. He allowed us to do certain things. Last week, he took Iowa Wesleyan College, one of our customers, and we've been with them for years. And one of the ladies called up on Wednesday, on Thursday, she called on Wednesday, and I said, Claire, what's going on? I said, are you guys really closing? And she said, well, unless we can get some financing, yes, we will, and we will be going out of business by December 31st. Well, I choose to believe that God's grace sounded like, I'm not going to close that place because you've been faithful and they've been faithful, and we're going to keep that relationship alive. Grace sounded like Iowa Wesleyan College staying open. Now, you're sitting there going, that doesn't sound very great. I'm telling you, until we start thinking about this stuff, that this is what God would speak over us. This is what grace looks like. It doesn't always look like the same thing to everybody, but you can count on it. All the examples that I gave to you are just a few that we could go back and visit in the Bible and say, in all of these places, this is what grace sounded like. It'll change the way that you listen to the song. How amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And you'll be able to step back and say, this is what God did for me today. I experienced the grace of God today. And it wasn't about just waking up and getting up in the morning as a saved child of God, although that's grace. It's more about, am I acknowledging him in every facet of my life? Am I listening to him? Am I looking at the circumstances? And by God's grace, this is what happened. How many of you are familiar with it? But for the grace of God, there go I? But for the grace of God, where would you be? What would life look like today if God hadn't spoken into your life and said, you, I choose you. And he spoke solidly and you listened to him and he changed your life forever. How sweet the sound. Can you hear that? Can you just hear Jesus going, daughter, love you. That's grace. That's grace. I love you. I care about who you are. I know where you are. All my plans for you are good. You don't recognize it sometimes because you're going through pain, but you will serve me in your pain or your priority. But when your pain comes, turn it to priority. Worship him in his priority. You may not feel as much pain. And I leave that for you to just think about that for a few minutes. What does grace sound like? The Lord's loving kindness indeed will never cease. His compassions, they will never fail. They are new. When? When? They are new every morning. Every morning. You roll out of that bed and the first thing out of your mouth would say, but for the grace of God, I could be dead. And now you know being dead is not so bad either. You'd be in the presence of God. But when you wake up and God gives you another day to just simply share his love and his kindness with people, that in itself is amazing grace. Because he trusts you. Get it, think it. He trusts you enough to take his message of salvation, love, and kindness and take it to a dying world to go out there and just minister to them. It doesn't take much to look around you and say, we have a lot of people around us that need a touch from God. And they don't know how to find it. Oh, they know the church, but they know a church that's been weak. They know a church that's been powerless. They don't know a church of power, a church of let's go forward and let's get after this. That's the church they're looking for. That's what'll change this world. When the church finally wakes up and we say to ourselves, we can do this. It's in the power of the cross, but we can do this. I'll read you a quick story, then we're going to be done. There are so many things that we can be afraid of in life today. We can be afraid simply to fly on an airplane. We can be afraid to drive your car. We can be afraid to do just about everything if we need to feel that way. But in Psalm 91, this promise is for believers. It says, though 1,000 fall at your side, and though 10,000 die around you, these evils will not touch you. Did you get up this morning and say that? Did you get up and think of that? Was that your thought this morning? That said, okay, look, 1,000 going to fall at my side, 10,000 are dying around you, but that evil can't touch me. Why? Because God is faithful. His grace is sufficient. Isn't it great? And isn't it, oh, it's not over till it's over? And until then, we can go about with boldness knowing that God is in control of our lives. A story was told of a courageous Christian who was standing before a king who wanted him to deny Jesus Christ. The king threatened, "If you don't do it, I will banish you." And the Christian replied to him, "You cannot banish me from Christ. He says he will never leave me nor forsake me." The king said, "I will confiscate your property. I will take it all." The Christian said, "My treasures are laid up on high. You can't touch them." "I will kill you," the king said. The man looked at him and said, "I've been dead for 40 years. I've been dead with Christ, dead to the world. My life is hid with Christ in God, and you cannot touch me." The king said, "What do you do with a fanatic like that?" Well, it's like Kenny Henson once said when I was listening to him. He says, "I don't care if you know I'm a fanatic, as long as you know what I'm fanatical about. I don't really care about the rest, but if you know I'm fanatic about Jesus Christ, that's all that matters. That's really all that cares." God needs to give us more Christians who know something of God's protection like this believer did. And there is a difference between trusting the Lord and testing the Lord. So don't take unnecessary chances. Hear what God is saying to you. He will keep us all in our ways, but our ways should be His. And I'll close this with this last verse, and this is the verse that I used at the sing the other night. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 simply says, "If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself." So He remains faithful. Whether we choose to take the road less traveled and we move away, or whether we choose to stay with Him, He is faithful, and He cares about us. Everything He knows is all about us. And He loves us. He cares for us. He is so happy when we are happy. And it bothers Him a great deal. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, 2 Corinthians chapter 19, where He's talking to Cornelius. I might get the chapter wrong. But He finally indicates to Cornelius that, "I remember all of these things." God remembers. When you pray, God remembers. When you give sacrificially, God remembers. He doesn't forget. He's not like the proverbial elephant, but He's God. He's not human, so He doesn't have to worry about not forgetting, and we don't have to worry about Him forgetting. Everything we've ever done, He remembers. And He wants to, believe it or not, He wants you to prosper and be in good health. Spock stole that line, actually. But he used it, and it was good. I like it. Prosper and be in health. And I like it. So at the end of this tonight, I'm going to give you 5 minutes, then Josh is going to play a video for us, and he'll cap it for us. It's going to be, I don't know if you've ever heard of Wintley Phipps. Fantastic black man. And he's going to sing Amazing Grace for us with a little bit of history about the song Amazing Grace. But I want you to take 2 or 3 minutes, if you would, if you got a pencil, write on that card, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound." What did grace sound like to you today? Or yesterday? Or what does grace sound like to you tonight? Can you do that? See if you could figure out what God's doing in your heart. Amazing grace. Not yet. Not yet, Cody. Hang on. "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound," written by slave trader, and we're called to be slaves to Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That is absolutely amazing. Thanks for letting me chat a while tonight. I appreciate it. God used me in spite of myself. I hope I said something that could have helped you, and perhaps you'll see grace in a different way. I love each one of you. Thank you, Pastor Wecombe.